We are thankful, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. I just want you to understand the weight behind when you say the name of Jesus. I feel that sometimes we'll say things flippantly and not understand the weight that's behind what we're really saying. And I just want you to think about this very practically. If I have money in a bank and I want Rebecca to go down and get the money out, if she doesn't go in my name, she can't get the money out if the money's in my name. She can only go in my name if there's been covenant that has been produced that says she now has the name Ryan Bain, that she's got the authority of that. And what will happen sometimes is we'll just throw out in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and not understand the weight behind that. When I say in the name of Jesus, I'm saying I've got covenant with him, and he's become my husband. Oh, Jesus. And I can go and I can withdraw things that were in his name, that were never in my name, that were only in his name. And I can withdraw that because of the covenant that I have with him. And I can take what I need. So I want you to understand the weight behind saying in the name of Jesus. It's not just something we do and then we eat. Bless this food in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, and we do it in the name of Jesus. And I know we understand that no man comes to the Father except by Jesus, but I want you to understand the weight behind the relationship that is there in order for us to really draw on the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight, God, that you would just remove every distraction, every hindrance, that you would speak to us out of the volume of your word. God, we'd be able to declare what you want to say to us. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 4. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm sorry that it's hot. We've got it cranked down as good as we can. Evidently, we've got some issues with the air conditioner here. I feel like a genius for stating the obvious right there. But anyway, John chapter 4, immediately following service, we're going to have a meeting to let you know everything that's going on for next weekend, for 4th of July weekend, and we'll have several things to say. John chapter 4, let's just start at verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus did not baptize, but his disciples did, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. I want you to understand that in the original, what was said there is, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. That's also what the King James says. And it's awkward language, but I want to show you in just a moment what he's saying there. So he knew, Jesus knew that he needed to go through Samaria, okay? Let's start back at verse 6. Now Jacob's well, everybody say Jacob's well, was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Let's say living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered, said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you are with now is not your husband. In that you have spoken truly. The woman said to her, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you Jews that in Jerusalem think that in Jerusalem is the place that one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father, nor in this mountain or on Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Watch this. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At that point, the disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Here it is. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to men, come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Father, I pray that you would speak to us out of your word. Let us hear exactly what you're saying. Let us be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And God, we just ask that you would open our eyes to revelation tonight. God, that there would be no hindrances or distractions, but you would be able to speak clearly to us. God, I just bind every hindrance and distraction and command it to be brought down in Jesus' name. God, whatever you have to do to make it cooler, do it, Jesus. We pray in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight, and I normally don't have a title, but I do tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about being bound to a water pot. Being bound to a water pot. It's a very interesting story, and many, many sermons have been preached on the woman at the well. One of the greatest scriptures on worship we find in John 4:23, where he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But I want to go a little bit deeper into this scripture tonight and find out what the writer was trying to tell us about this encounter with the woman at the well. First of all, you have to understand that Jacob's well was a very important piece of ground. In Genesis chapter 33, verses 18 through 20, you get the story of how Jacob purchased this well from a man named Hamor. It's really, really an interesting story. He gets this parcel of ground and digs a well there, and he actually builds an altar there and says, God, the God of Israel, and this is the name of the altar. Well, in the next chapter, you would think that the dealings with Hamor and his sons are good, but Hamor has a son named Shechem who actually rapes one of Jacob's daughters, and chapter 34 is about Jacob's daughter Dinah being raped and then the revenge of Jacob's sons that they took on Shechem and the other men of the city. It's really, really good reading. Really doesn't have anything to do with what I want to say tonight, but if you read the Bible, it's really cool. I mean, you talk about action. These dudes, I got to tell you because it's just a cool story. So they rape Dinah, and that's horrid. It's terrible. But Shechem really was in love with Dinah, the lady that he raped, okay? And so he goes and he's like, Daddy, please, you've got to get this woman to be my wife. And you know, everything is explained. And so Hamor goes to Jacob and says, please let us have your daughters in marriage, and we'll give you our daughters in marriage, and we want everything to be good, and you can have our livestock, we'll have your livestock, let's just be one big happy family. And so they thought about it, and her brothers, one of them was Levi, and I forget the other one, but one of them was Levi for sure, they got really, really mad that their sister had been raped, and you could imagine that. And so they say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to allow you to marry our sister, but every one of your men have to be like us, you have to be circumcised. And so they put them through this procedure of circumcision. The whole time they have in their mind that after the men go through circumcision, then they raid the city and kill them anyway. And that's really good reading. And Genesis chapter 34 has nothing to do with what I want to tell you. But they made them men go through circumcision, and then they killed them anyway. And so it's good reading in the Bible. You should do it sometime. It's really cool. You have to understand that this land was really important. In Genesis chapter 48, Jacob gives this land and this well to Joseph, and eventually it becomes the place where Joseph is buried. Jacob was obviously one of the patriarchs, and so his name carried weight. We know that because this woman said, "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" And so she's asking him, do you carry the clout and the weight that our father Jacob did? If you read the story of Jacob giving this well to Joseph, you will understand that when he gave it to Joseph, he was giving him another portion that his brothers didn't get. In Genesis chapter 48, he gives him the well and it says, "I'm giving you this piece of land and it's another portion that your brothers don't get." And so he's giving him another level of blessing that the rest of them didn't get. So I need you to understand that in light of what we're talking about. It was a next level anointing for Joseph that set him apart from his brothers. But now watch this. It was under an old covenant. You have to stay with me tonight. I got a lot of information, but you got to catch this. It was under the old covenant because Christ hadn't died yet. So Jacob gives Joseph this piece of land under the old covenant. So the covenant is bound by limitations. Okay, even though it was another level of blessing because Joseph wasn't the firstborn, it wasn't double portion, but it was another level of blessing, and it was still bound by the limitations of the old covenant. Now watch this. Jacob's name literally means supplanter. It literally means supplanter or contender, or in really plain English, trickster. He was a trickster. The definition is this: one who wrongfully or illegally seizes and holds the place of another. Ah, here we go. So Jesus says, "I must needs go through Samaria." In other words, what it literally means in the Greek is, "I am bound to go to Samaria." There is something on the inside of me that happened before I could ever even talk about right now that has bound me to go to the well, to go to the woman at the well. If I had time to you, I would teach you that there's an aspect here of whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But he says, "I must needs go to Samaria. I need to go there because the book said that everything in heaven and earth would bow its knee to Jesus." Are you with me? And so there's a place of worship that this woman is at that she's put great weight on the fact that this is where Jacob told us to worship. And Jesus literally had to go and dethrone that place of worship so that she would have an understanding that there was one greater than the patriarch Jacob. Are you with me? So he had to go through this place, not just to dethrone this place of worship, but to literally change this woman's life. Jacob's well meant that it was a place that was wrongfully seized or wrongfully taken by another, because that's what Jacob was. And so it doesn't mean that Jacob was bad. It means that there is a greater covenant that was coming with the life of Jesus. So he says, "I have to go and I have to dethrone this idea and I have to dethrone everything that is here." Now, because it was under the old covenant, there was such limitation to this well. And the reason that there is limitation to this well is because there was opportunity for the water to run out. Now, you have to understand symbolism. And I know that I've taught you some of this. Whenever you see water in the scripture, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay, water symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And so he's going and letting this woman know that there is something greater that is coming and that is available to you than what you're drawing from right now. I'm sure it was hot like it is in here right now. She probably had sweat dripping down like I do. Her head is covered. because that's how the women travel. She's in a long robe. She's carrying a water pot, walking to a well. She sees a man sitting on the curb of the well, and he doesn't address her, "Hello, how are you doing?" Immediately he says, "Give me a drink." And she says, "Why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan, and you're a Jew." And Jesus begins to speak to her, and he doesn't even answer why he's talking to her. He says, "If you knew the gift of God that was available to you, then you would ask me for a drink of water." Now, you have to understand that where he is, this Samaritan woman is coming to this place called Sychar that is in the Bible. In the Old Testament, it was called Shechem, literally called Shechem, and now it's called Sychar. And I began to study, and I thought, what does that mean, and why is it here? And the word Sychar in the Hebrew, it literally meant an intense or alcoholic drink. This lady was coming to a place to get a watered-down version of what was going to be available after she met Jesus. But she was bound to come back here time after time after time because she was addicted to what she was able to get with her water pot. Stay with me. She was addicted to limited supply. She was addicted to getting just enough water to fill her water pot. And on a hot day like this, I'm sure that she's walking and probably spilling some of the water out that's in her water pot and having to stop and take a drink so that she can make the journey, because it was a good couple of miles from her town to get to this well. And this was not the city well. This was Jacob's well. This wasn't the well where everybody would go. This is the well that the father Jacob had given to the Samaritans. But this lady, because of her reputation, she would go to this well and not go to the city well. And she would go to this place that was addicting. It was an alcoholic drink, Sychar. That's really what it means. And so she would go to this place and get just a little bit for her thirst, but by the time she got home, she was thirsty again. Have you ever been to a place in your walk with Jesus where you go and you get just a little bit, and by the time you get home, you're thirsty for something else? I want you to understand that what we have done in the church in America is we have become addicted to a watered-down form, a covenant that is limited, because we haven't understood what was really at our fingertips. And we would go to the place where it would fill our water pot just a little bit, and we became addicted to the thrill of our water pot being half full. We've gotten drunk off a watered-down version that we have to keep coming back to. And the only reason we keep coming back to the same thing is because it's accessible. And it cost us a price one time, but now we can go there anytime we want to. That's why we have people that say stupid statements like, "Well, I can't worship like that because they don't do it like they used to do. I can't do this because it doesn't sound like it used to sound." We have the dumbest word that's ever been created in the world called worship wars. How do you have a war over worship? What you really mean is it's not your style, so you're going to sit down and be mad when worship was never supposed to be about you anyway. But we settled for a watered-down version, and the reason that they liked it, you got to catch this, is because it made them feel good at one point. I literally have been involved with people who knew what song to sing and knew what beat to go to because it brought a certain feeling back that they wanted to recreate every week. And if I can recreate that moment and recreate that feeling, then we're going to have a good service and everybody's going to say, "Good job, everything went well." But the truth is, what we were doing was peddling a watered-down version that was accessible without understanding what was fully ready for us in the form of a real relationship with Jesus. So she comes with her water pot. Everybody say water pot. She comes with her water pot expecting to get it filled. She didn't know that there was something greater, so she just accepted what was there as normal. She just accepted what was available as good and became addicted to accepting less. I believe that the reason that people don't pray like they should, and people don't worship like they should, and people don't go as deep with God like they should, is because they found that they can skirt the surface and they've become satisfied with less than everything. That's why you talk to people and they feel good about themselves because they went to church for an hour on Sunday. Ain't talked to God the whole week long, but I got my time in. I got everything that I needed in. And we've become addicted to a watered down version of what's really available. Now look what Jesus does. Jesus says that if you knew the gift that was available to you, you would ask me of a drink, because what I can give you is living water. Now, we've talked about this before. A lot of times we'll read the Bible like we're living, like it was written to people that were living in Louisville. But it wasn't. In this statement, he's confronting some things. He's confronting the fact that it's living water. And he's saying that in opposition to water that is stagnant. When he says that, he literally is saying, this water is living, and it's in opposition to what is stagnant or doesn't have any kind of a source, an inlet or an outlet. Okay? So he's literally saying, this is living water, and what you're used to is dead water. Now watch. Here's the reason that she was okay with going back to this watered down version every time. Are you with me? Say, I'm here. Going to the well and going under an old covenant to a watered down version that would just skirt the surface was never going to confront the fact that she was living in compromise. I want you to catch that. Going with her water pot to a place that had been passed down from generation to generation was never going to confront the fact that she was living with somebody and had had five husbands. So he says, I have living water, and that is in opposition to the dead water that you're used to. Here's the reason that we mess things up a lot of times. This is me, the reason that I mess things up a lot of times. You have to understand, do you remember that I told you that Jacob bought the well and made it an altar, right? And an altar is not a place where we go and say, Lord, forgive me. But an altar was always a place where something had to die. And so he's saying you have the availability to have living water, but you keep coming back to something that's supposed to be dead. The reason that we go in cycles in our sin, in our worship, in everything that we do, is because we continue to go back to something that is supposed to be dead. This was an altar. This was a place where death was supposed to happen. And Jesus comes and confronts that and says, you could have living water, which is in opposition to this dead thing. And the reason that we go through all of these problems, the reason that you can stop with pornography and then pick it right back up, the reason that you can stop doing things for a little while and pick it right back up, is because what we do is we'll kill it, but we'll go back and we'll bring it back to life. She was literally going out of her way so that people wouldn't know who she is. It was so far out of town, she had to travel and carry a water pot to get water when she could have went to the city well. But she wanted to continue to go to a place that allowed her to be what she wanted to be. Until she met Jesus. See, here's the thing, guys. We can go through this all day long. And we can keep going through cycles. And we can be up one week and down the next. We can be ready to take the city one week and then dealing with compromise the next. We can be doing all these things and going in cycles and cycles and cycles until we get the revelation that Paul tried to give us when he said, I die daily. She wasn't going to this place to die. She was going there because there was something dead. But Paul said, I die daily. And Jesus said that if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross daily. You have to die to yourself daily. So Jesus begins to talk to her. He says, I can give you this water, and then it will become a well springing up inside of you. Remember in John chapter 7, he said, he that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Holy Spirit. He's beginning to tell her that there's something greater that is available to you. There's something that is greater. And we have got to begin to understand that there's something greater. And we've got to stop being comfortable with being wet. I don't want to be around people who are just happy to be wet. And we got to begin to understand that there's a difference in being wet and there's a difference of having a river. Oh, y'all better catch what I'm saying tonight. I'm saying some stuff. Y'all better get this podcast. I'm preaching way better than you're letting on. There is something different about being wet and having the force of a river flowing out of you. And we've been content with being wet because people could see that we're wet because we're dripping. When if we had a river that was flowing out of us, the force of the Holy Spirit that is in us would change every atmosphere that we're a part of. Most of the time, if you're just wet, people don't want to be around you anyway. And he said it could become a well springing out of you. And then later it could be a river that is flowing out of you. But she had to be willing to go to another level. Let me have that. I got my water pot. Are you telling me that what you have is greater than what my father's told me about? You're telling me I'm never going to thirst again, but all I know is my water pot. All I know is my water pot. What you have can really change my life, and it's greater than what I've known and what I've understood before. Does it fit in my water pot? Because all I know and all I'm used to is my water pot. Notice that Jesus didn't go to the next step of releasing this to her until he confronts the fact that she's living in sin. You know the real reason that we don't have rivers flowing out of us? It's because if I just get wet, nobody's going to know that I still have compromise in my life. Because I can still be just a little bit wet and still have a little something going on the side. I can come in and get just a little bit of residual water of what somebody else has. And nobody has to know that the life that I'm living is not up to what Jesus expects. I can go in and I can lift my hands and I can shamama just a little bit. But at the end of the day, when I leave, I'm going to pick up my water pot, because this is what identifies me. My water pot identifies me. Why does it identify me? Because I can control what comes in and out of my water pot. If I have a river and the force of a river coming through me, then I've lost control. But if I can just stay a little bit wet with my water pot, I've still got control. I've still got everything I need. I don't have to deal with the fact that I've had five husbands and I'm living with somebody. I don't have to deal with the fact that I've still got compromise in my life. I don't have to deal with the fact that PR and the other people don't see what I do when I get home. I don't have to deal with the fact that nobody else knows of the things that are going on in my life. And it's a cycle that happens, and we'll come and we'll get wet. And we'll go home and we'll be sorry until we dry out. And then we engage in the same behavior. And then we'll pick up our water pot and we'll walk back and expect him to fill our water pot again. And at some point, he gets tired of limited supply. And so he confronts her and says, go tell your husband. Don't you love how Jesus did that? Go tell your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You've had five of them. And now you're living with some joker who is not your husband. You were right. And then she says something that's brilliant. I perceive that you're a prophet. What gave you that idea? I guarantee it. What he's doing is he's indicating to her that you can't have the fullness of this covenant if you still have compromise in your life. You can't have the fullness of this river coming out of you if you still have compromise in your life. Compromise will absolutely keep you from the fullness of God. The reason that a river is so important, it's because if you have a river that's flowing out of you, when compromise tries to come, the force of the river is greater than the compromise. Oh, you got to catch that. You got to catch, I don't know if I can quit. No, he's better. You got to understand that the river, the Holy Spirit, fullness with Jesus, the force of him being in you is better. And it forces the compromise out of your life. That's why the river is important. It forces compromise out of your life. She came expecting for her water pot to be filled, but I want you to watch this. After he explains everything to her, and he says, you can really worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it's not about coming to this place that your father has taught you. And it's not about Jacob's well. But it's about your heart. He tapped something that no one else had ever touched in her heart and her spirit, because it said that she left her water pot and ran back to the city and said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. What are you saying? I'm telling you that the love that Jesus has for you. Do you remember that she was running out of her way so that people would know her? So that people would not know the life, and she wouldn't have to encounter people. But now she leaves the water pot and runs back and says, I don't care. I don't care who knows. Look what he set me free from. Look what he set me free from. See, here's the deal. I know that most everybody in here probably is saved and has a relationship with Jesus. So, PR, why would you preach something like this? Because you can be saved and carry a water pot. You can be saved and carry a water pot. And I believe that God spoke to me and said, I want to set some people free from their water pot tonight. I want you to be free. Listen, I can hear already. That's not me. I got it together. Everything's good. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. You know what I found out? You know, I'm a pretty big guy. No, you couldn't see that. But I found out real quick that a sippy cup wasn't enough to quench my thirst. My boys are just like me. And at a very young age, a sippy cup wasn't enough to quench their thirst. See, I say that because I believe that there are people in the body of Christ that are still attached to a sippy cup. They haven't been weaned from the sippy cup. They haven't been weaned from their water pot. And because they experience something from the sippy cup, from the water pot, they go back to it every time to try to recreate what they experienced one time. But I don't know if you're like me. But if I'm thirsty and somebody hands me a little cup of water and I drink it, instead of quenching my thirst, it makes me mad because I'm still thirsty. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I got just a little bit, but instead of it fixing the problem, it really heightened my awareness of what I need. See, what happens in church is we'll experience a little bit, and it will heighten our awareness that we need something more. And the rest is dictated on our response. Do we go after the more? Or do we pick up our water pot again and learn to live with less? The reason that the church is not the voice in America that it's supposed to be is because we learn to live with less. We said, I'll exchange prayer for a program. I'll exchange a move of the Spirit for some entertainment that will put people in the seats. And what we did is we said, look at our water pot. Look how good our water pot shines. Because we could control. Do you hear me by the Holy Spirit tonight? Because we could control what came in and out of our water pot. And I believe that there's people under the sound of my voice right now. You have to understand that we are in an intense season of preparation. If we really believe that God is sending awakening to this city, we are in an intense season of preparation. And he is sending things to us and preparing us and letting us know your water pot isn't going to save Louisville. and doing it the way that daddy always did it and the way that this happened. And it's not anything bad against daddy. Jacob was a patriarch. Hallelujah for Jacob. But it was limited supply. It was limited supply. I think it's ironic that today the only way that Jacob's well gets water is if it rains. Because it dried up. Eventually, going back to the same thing over and over is going to dry up. But you don't have to live any longer bound to your water pot. He wants to come with the river. I want you to bow your head, please. He wants to come with the river. He wants to come with the river with force. Your water pot will never confront the fact that you have compromise in your life. Because you can carry your water pot and still have compromise. But I promise you, you cannot have a river flowing out of you. And still have compromise in your life. The reason, you better listen. The reason that we keep going back over and over and over again is because we have become an event-driven people. And I want to recreate the feeling I felt at this event. I want to recreate the feeling that I felt at this event because I took my water pot and my water pot got full there. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You'll never be able to carry what God intended for you to carry if you try to confine it to a water pot. The only time you can dance and the only time you can shout is when you're at the ramp, you got a water pot. The only time you pray is when you have an experience and it lasts for 2 or 3 weeks, you got a water pot. The only time you burn for God is when somebody else can lead you to that place, you got a water pot, friend. If you can experience Him and turn your back and walk away, you got a water pot. If you get up on Monday and you live like nothing happened last night, you got a water pot. We got to be man and woman enough to say, I got to get rid of this water pot. I need a river. I need a river. I need a river. I need a river. Listen, I don't know about you, man, but I can't just burn on Sunday night. I can't just burn at home group. It's got to be daily. I have to fight an enemy every single day. Maybe you get days off, but every day he comes to my house. Every day. And I can only hit him once with my water pot and then it breaks. I need a river. I need a river. You need a river. You need a river. He said, he that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We got to get rid of the water pot, man. We got to get rid of the water pot. Some of you are here tonight, and you brought your water pot in. He's given you an opportunity to leave your water pot and never be bound to it again. I want you to listen to this. If you are bound, and even though it was a move of God at one time, if you're bound to what was a move of God at one time and can't get free from that, it's still bondage. It is still bondage. If you're bound to an experience, oh, it was great. I hear you, but if you're bound to that, And that's your identification. It's still bondage. He wants to set you free. No more water pots. No more water pots. I'm going to pray, and then I want you to come. And I want you to leave your water pot at the altar. I want you to get on your face. I want you to get on your knees. And I know it's easier to stay back there. And he's really not talking to me. Yeah, Jack, leave your water pot.